You know, we live in a society where many believe it's God's responsibility to make sure every Christian has a good and comfortable life. Am I the only one who's hearing that nonsense?
Hello and welcome to Living God's Way, coming to you from the Germantown Christian Assembly in the Mount Airy section of Philadelphia. In an age when many are abandoning Christian values, Pastor Brian Grant's expository preaching from the timeless Word of God will remind us that the best way to live is to live God's way. You've likely heard the Christian life compared to running a race, but unlike the Olympians of recent celebration, the Christian race is not to the swift. You don't get the crown for finishing first. No. Thus, the Apostle Paul, in his legacy letter to his young co-worker Timothy, his second, he warns Timothy that in his race to the finish, he will face increasingly difficult times, and to win out over those difficult times, he will need to finish strong. This is the topic of Pastor Brian Grant's message this evening. Listen with us now as Pastor Grant brings the first part of his message, Finishing Strong. Here is Pastor Grant.
In the 1992 Olympics, Derek Redmond, a 27-year-old British athlete with West Indian roots, was expected to win gold in the 400 meters. He easily won the quarterfinal, and when it was time for the semifinals, the Olympic stadium was packed to see him run. As the pistol sounded, he took an early lead and was surging ahead when something very unexpected happened. His right hamstring popped, causing him to fall on the track. All hopes of winning gold were shattered. And if I might just add my disappointment at some of my Jamaican athletes, they didn't have a hamstring that popped, but they were all over the place, some running on the side of the track. But that's another story. Poor Derek Redmond. All hopes of winning gold were shattered, but Derek was determined to finish the race, so he got back up and started hopping to the finish line. Less than 30 seconds later, the race was over because all the runners had finished. But those in the stadium realized a more important competition was just beginning, for instead of quitting, Derek Redmond was finishing the race one painful hop at a time. Each hop was a little slower and a little more agonizing, and the crowd could sense the agony he was in as one step at a time, one hop at a time, Derek Redmond continued around the track. But listen, after a while, his body could take it no more. And he slumped on the track. Suddenly, his dad, Jim Redmond, appeared on the track. He had jumped over the stadium railing. He had dodged Olympic security, and he had raced to his son's aid. And with his dad's help, Derek continued his emotionally stirring race as they hobbled around the track together. Can you imagine the sight? Derek was sobbing as he leaned on his father. And finally, it took a while, but finally, arm with arm, with 65,000 screaming fans, Derek Redmond and his dad crossed the finish line in what many regard as the most remarkable finish in Olympic history. Derek Redmond had finished strong. And today, as we conclude this series on 2 Timothy, I'm using as my theme, finishing strong. People often say that winning is everything, but although many who watched that race in 1992 have already forgotten who won the actual race, but they will never forget Derek Redmond and his dad, and the incredible obstacle they overcame in their determination to finish strong. My friends, as we gather here this morning, and perhaps you're listening on the internet or on the radio, I just want to say to you, no matter how many times we may have messed up, we can still finish strong. Don't let anybody tell you that your life is too messed up, because by the grace of God, we can still finish strong when we determine to walk with Jesus. Amen. Jesus can give us all the help we need to finish strong. So this morning, I want to share with you three things from the text that will help us to finish strong. Here's the first thing I want you to put in your notes. To finish strong, we must hold fast to God's word. If we're going to finish strong, don't miss this. Young people, older ones, don't miss this. If you're really going to finish strong, as far as God is concerned, you have got to hold fast to God's word. 2 Timothy chapter 4, first two verses reads as follows. I charge you therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who will judge the living and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. And it says, convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. 2 Timothy was written from a prison in Rome, where Paul had been imprisoned for his faith in Jesus. Many believe he was being held in the Mamertine prison, regarded by many as the most brutal prison in the Roman Empire. Although Paul had done nothing wrong, he was jailed, chained, and living in filthy conditions. But despite this, Paul's faith never wavered. You know, if that had happened to some of us, we'd probably think God had let us down. Am I right about that? We'd probably think God had let us down, and our passion for God may have cooled. I've run into many Christians who, if things aren't going the way they want them to go, they're upset with God, and they stop coming to church, they stop serving him. But I want you to know that Paul was in one of the worst possible prisons, and his passion for God had not cooled, because Paul was determined to finish strong. You know, we live in a society where many believe it's God's responsibility to make sure every Christian has a good and comfortable life. Am I the only one who's hearing that nonsense? That God owes you something. Now that you've come to him, he owes you a good life. God owes you nothing. We owe him everything. Where this craziness comes from? We owe him our life and our being. But there is this growing shift away from sound doctrine to prosperity preaching, preaching that promises health, wealth, and all the good things of life. But my friend, if the prosperity gospel is true, God would owe Paul an apology. For Paul, just think of it. You know, sometimes when I can't understand how this crazy teaching is getting so prominent. How is it that Christians are buying this nonsense? Paul is the one that God used to write almost half of the New Testament books. Are you aware of that? Almost half of the books in the New Testament was written by Paul under the inspiration of God. And as Paul wrote this final epistle, instead of enjoying the good life, he was confined to a brutal, disgusting prison, waiting to be executed for his faith in Jesus. And he was executed. But now we get this crazy idea. Oh, you're supposed to have... My friend, the prosperity gospel is tempting, but it is a false gospel. Young people, I want you to listen clearly to me, because this gospel is getting bigger and bigger. More and more preachers are teaching this prosperity gospel. The churches with the prosperity gospel, the seams are bursting. They're overrun with people, because everybody's really hoping that if I come under the ministry of this pastor, I will get $1 million. I'll get a new car. The prosperity gospel is not a gospel at all. But despite all Paul had to endure, he held to God's word with an unshaken faith, for he knew God would not forsake him. My friend, God will never forsake those who belong to him. We can rest in the promise God made in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, where God promises, I will what? I will never leave you nor forsake you. Sir, madam, God will never, if you know Jesus, he will never leave us or forsake us. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, Paul warned that in the last days, perilous times will come. And if you didn't hear that message the last, you go back to the series, because that's what we spoke about the last time. In the last days, Paul says, perilous times will come. And so we need to make sure that we are prepared, that tough times are ahead for the church. But may we remain resolute. For when we pass through tough times, God will be right there with us, amen. And he will give us all we need to finish strong. As the Apostle Paul was going through, you would say, hell on earth. But God was giving him all he needed to finish strong. Listen to what he said in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16. 2 Timothy 4, verse 16. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me. May not be charged against them. Let me just say a word to my younger folks. There may come a time when some of those who are teaching and preaching God's word are arrested. Don't do what this church did. Some of us, by God's grace, are seeking to proclaim God's word no matter what the cost is. But may God help us that there will be those behind who will say, no matter what, we will not forsake you. We will stand with you. The Apostle Paul, to their shame, said, there was none that stood with him. No one stood with me. And Paul prays, may it not be held to their charge. But Paul went on to say, but the Lord stood with me, amen. And he strengthened me so that the message might be preached fully throughout me, through me. And that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion by the grace of God. Paul said, listen, our God is able to deliver. And I was delivered from the mouth of the lion. And the Lord will deliver me from every evil work, from every evil work, and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. Paul said, I know where I'm going. My destination is heaven. And hey, I know that's where I'm going. And God is going to make sure I get there. Amen. As the battle raged, Paul focused on pleasing God, and the Lord provided all the comfort, strength, and deliverance he needed. So Paul was able to testify, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me and delivered me out of the mouth of the lion. What a mighty God we serve. Oh, some of you, God is going to call to carry this message in tough times. But never forget, God is going to help you, and he will strengthen you, and he will deliver you from the mouth of the lion. But Paul didn't stop there. For in verse 18, he confidently said, and the Lord will deliver me from every evil work and preserve me for his heavenly kingdom. To him be glory forever and ever. What a mighty God we serve. Aren't you glad you serve this God?
Yes.
Are you serving him?
Yes.
Are you a bench warmer?
Not at all, sir.
Or are you really on the battlefield for our Lord?
Yes.
May God help us. You know, these benches don't need a lot of warming. Amen. May God help us, like the Apostle Paul. We will be on the battlefield for our Lord. The Lord said, he said, God will deliver me from every evil work. First, to finish strong, we must hold fast to God's word. But secondly, to finish strong, we must pursue God's purposes. We must pursue God's purposes. Hold your finger here in 2 Timothy, but I just want to give you a key verse that you need to make sure you underline in your Bible, and it's in Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, verses 1 and verse number 1 says, "But now thus says the Lord who created you." Everybody, if you have it, say amen. You have it? All right, verse 43, chapter 43, verse 1. "Now thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. You are mine." I have that underlined in my Bible. You are mine. You may want to write this in your notes. Mankind's primary purpose is to glorify God and enjoy fellowship with him. Did you realize that's our primary purpose? To glorify God and to fellowship with him. He says, I have redeemed you. I created you. I redeemed you. I call you. You are mine. And then verse 7 says this, "Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have what? I have created for what? For my glory." Why were we made? You can talk back to the preacher. Why were we made? We were made for God's glory. So add that to your notes. God created us for his glory. So let's pause a moment to ask ourselves this question. What is my biggest driver in life? Teenagers, I know you want to finish school. I know you want to finish college. I know you want to get that job. I know you're dreaming of marriage. But what is your biggest driver? Is it to bring glory to God? Might God challenge us even from a young age that we may make a total dedication to God, amen? And that we might recognize that we were made for God's glory. And listen, I achieve my purposes that God made for me when I make a commitment to pursuing God's glory. You see, we have it roundabout. We think we need to pursue our thing, and then perhaps along the line we will glorify God. No, our focus must be to bring glory to God. And as we focus and bring glory to God, he will work out all the other details in our lives. I wish you could have a testimony time right now. But sadly, even some born-again Christians are more interested in their own glory rather than God's glory. They got saved to make sure they have a reserved seat in heaven. Am I right about that? Sometimes the only reason we are saved is to make sure we have a reserved seat in heaven. And we're looking forward to being with God, but we're not excited about fellowshipping with him right now. But make no mistake, God created us for his glory and desires to have fellowship with us while we are here on earth. And after his salvation, Paul had experienced the thrill of fellowshipping with the living God. As you read the letters of Paul, that's what really sometimes hits you. How Paul, despite his drama, he had the journey of a lifetime because he was experiencing the thrill of fellowshipping with the living God. God was showing up daily in his life. And so in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, he says, I am already being poured out as a drink offering. You see that 2 Timothy, flip back, 2 Timothy 4, 6. For I am already being poured out as a drink offering, and the time of my departure is at hand. Since some of us may not have heard about the drink offering, this is very significant. Sometimes when we do this verse, we just slide over it and we don't pause to find out, so what is this drink offering? It's very important for us to fully understand this text. So I want to take us back to the Old Testament for a moment to look at what this Old Testament sacrifice was all about. And so let's go to the book of Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Numbers chapter 28. We're not talking about addition now. It's actually a book in the Bible. All right. Numbers chapter 28. And we're going to just read verses 7 and 8. And here's how Numbers 28, 7 and 8 reads. And it's drink offering. You see the word right there? It's drink offering shall be 1/4 of a hin for each lamb. In a holy place you shall pour out the drink offering to the Lord as an offering. The other lamb you shall offer in the evening as the morning grain offering, and its drink offering you shall offer it as an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. The drink offering, and I put this in your notes, the drink offering refers to a cup of wine a Jewish priest poured out beside the altar after the offering of a sacrifice in the temple. But get this, whereas parts of the other offerings were given to the priests, remember the priests could actually get from some of the other offerings, all of the drink offering was poured out before the Lord. You see the difference? The other sacrifices and offerings, the priests could get some of. But the drink offering was all for God. Here are two key takeaways I don't want you to leave this without. Unlike the other sacrifices, the drink offering was all for God. And Numbers 28, 8, it emphasizes this. Look at verse number 8 one more time as it ends. It's a sweet aroma to the Lord. God got great pleasure and delight from the drink offering. Amen?
My friend, Jesus loves you so much that if you were the only person in the whole world, he would have died just for you. No matter what you've done, Jesus wants to save you. He wants to forgive you today. You say, Pastor Grant, what do I need to be saved? You simply need to trust the Lord Jesus, repent of your sin, and turn to him. You may pray a simple prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner, need your forgiveness. Thank you that Jesus died for my sins. Please cleanse me from all my sin. I receive Jesus Christ into my heart as my personal Savior and Lord. Please help me to live for you from this day forward. Amen. And my friend, if you pray a simple prayer like that and mean it, God will hear you and he will answer your prayer and he will save you. I hope you'll do that right now.
Thanks for tuning in today. If you received Christ, or if this program was a blessing, it would be a great encouragement to hear from you. You may call us at 215-242-5550 or visit our website, livinggodsway.org. We'd also invite your partnership in this life-changing ministry. Gifts can be made through our website or by writing us at 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. The address again is 610 East Mount Pleasant Avenue, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, 19119. We invite you to join us for online worship this Sunday at 10 o'clock a.m. at livinggodsway.org. That's livinggodsway.org. It would be a pleasure to have you as part of our online audience. Now, until next week, on behalf of Pastor Grant and our entire church family, this is Steve Washington reminding you that there's no better way to live than to live God's way.